BFM.
It's really softened up and it's gone smooth.
It's high time for What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation. Brought to you by thelevel.org.nz. Straight up drug info.
Good morning to Emily from the New Zealand Drug Foundation. How's it going?
It's pretty good.
Now, this morning, in the area of harm reduction, we're going to be talking about sex and drugs. Obviously, quite a very common combination, mm-hmm. but quite often not a lot of discussion around it.
Yeah, totally. I've been trying to think of a good rock and roll, sex, drugs, and rock and roll joke, but it's too early. I can't. But yeah, like you say, it's a quite a common combination, but we don't often kind of talk about harm reduction or thinking about what you're doing before you do it. And I think it's a pretty important thing to talk about and think about.
Now, from a harm reduction perspective, what are some essential things people should be aware of when it comes to mixing sex and drugs?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I try to split it in my mind into like things you can do beforehand, if you have the chance to plan, and then things that you can do kind of like in the moment. Mm. Like beforehand stuff, obviously setting good ground rules with your partner or partners, like figuring out what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with, what you're using, how much you plan on using is super key. It sounds straightforward, but like having condoms and lube on hand beforehand, because when you're intoxicated, you're just not going to think about where to find it. Getting your gear checked, because there's nothing that's going to ruin your sexy, you know, evening than taking something that you don't plan on taking.
Yes.
And end up
yep.
in the hospital or worse. And, you know, just it's really easy to kind of like take a bump or a cap from your partner and then just, you know, do it without really knowing. But it's actually really important to measure your own drugs, know exactly how much you're taking and when you're taking it and that kind of stuff, which you can plan beforehand, get your doses ready so you don't have to think about it when you're in the moment.
Mm. Now, I mean, how can drugs impact an individual's ability to give or receive clear and enthusiastic consent?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. That's one of the key things around when you're actually in the moment engaging in sex and drugs, is that obviously you need to make sure that you continue to check in with your partner or partners throughout the whole process, because drugs can certainly impact your judgment, your decision making. Obviously, if somebody's not able to give a like clear, enthusiastic yes, then that's not consent. So it's really important that you don't just check in once at the start, but you keep checking in throughout the process.
Could you explain how different types of drugs can alter someone's perception or experience of intimacy?
Yeah, that's a great question. I won't go through an exhaustive list, obviously, but I think it's really important to know that the type of drug that you take can really impact your kind of sexual experience. Like some drugs like cocaine or GHB or ketamine can make your body feel really numb. So like what we often find people telling us is that they end up having rougher sex than they maybe planned on it, because their sensation is dulled a little bit, which can result in things like tears and damage and feeling really sore. On the other side, stimulant drugs like meth or MDMA can make you feel really lovey and really horny, but they can make it really hard to orgasm or to stay hard, and they can also cause dryness, which is really tricky, especially if you don't have lube on hand beforehand. And even psychedelics, like you can be on a very different wavelength than your partner if you're both using something like LSD or mushrooms. And so if you're not planning beforehand on how you're going to check in, there can be mad miscommunications in the process.
What are some of the risks people should be aware of when using substances in social or sexual situations?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just not overdoing it, right? Like if you have your drugs checked and you know what you're taking and you're going and understanding what dose you want, it can still be really easy to overdo it and to go, oh, I'll just have a little bit more. I'll just have a little bit more. We'll just have a little bit more. But that can end up kind of ruining your night in the long run. So we always say, just start with a low dose, go slow, wait at least a couple hours before taking more, and that's going to improve your experience.
How do obviously each drug seems to will have a different effect on the body, but how do drugs impact the body physically during sex, and are there any specific substances that have more significant effects?
I mean, I think it does range person to person, and also like depending on your individual experience. But like I mentioned, there's drugs that can enhance your kind of physical sensations. There's drugs that can dampen your physical sensations. There's drugs that can make you kind of feel or have rose-tinted glasses, maybe make decisions that you wouldn't make when you're sober, which is obviously completely fine. But it's important to know that even though you might go out and not plan on going home with someone or not plan on engaging in a sexual experience, if you are using drugs, that might make you feel more horny. Just be ready for the possibility that that could happen and, you know, have a plan for how you're going to stay safe.
How do you approach conversations around safer sex practices when drugs might be involved?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And I think the consent aspect is even more important when people are using drugs. Like, it's really, really important to like reiterate that you need to check in about how intoxicated you feel throughout the process. And I also think it's really important to acknowledge that, like, sometimes people are going to have unplanned, unprotected sexual experiences, and that happens from time to time. But it's really important to afterwards have a chat with your partner about STIs, you know, go see a doctor, get a checkup if you need to, access medications like DoxyPEP or the morning after pill. We try to reinforce that kind of stuff to people. You know, no judgment, just making sure that you stay as safe as you possibly can.
Are there specific substances that are more commonly linked to risky sexual behavior, and what can be done to mitigate those risks?
Yeah, I mean, we see drugs that are more commonly used in sexual contexts, like methamphetamine is a common one, GHB, GBL14BD, the kind of G drugs, MDMA are often used in kind of those sort of sexual contexts. But we also see other drugs like poppers that used to be around for a while. They're commonly used in sexual scenarios. And I think one of the things that people don't often realize about some of those drugs is that they can interact with medications. In particular, things like poppers can interact with Viagra really dangerously. So it's super important that people, you know what they're taking and understand how it might interact with other things they're taking, including alcohol. Obviously, if you add some of those drugs on top of alcohol, you can end up being a lot more intoxicated than you planned.
How can people who are using drugs ensure they're still maintaining control over their own boundaries and desires when they're...
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I think that part of it is ideally not overdoing it on the drugs and pacing yourself so that you feel in some sort of sense of control. And another big part of it is just that regular communication can be really easy when you're, I mean, and we've all been intoxicated to the point where we feel like we can't communicate our needs. But I think it's really important to be able to express throughout the process with your partner how you're feeling, how intoxicated you're feeling, checking in to make sure that, you know, maybe you haven't gone over to the point where you no longer feel like you're in control of your body or in control of your decisions. And just also know that you always have the right at any point during a sexual experience on drugs to withdraw consent. Mm-hmm. It's not like just because you start something, you have to finish it. And I think it's really important that people know that and also receive that information from their partners, you know.
Two more questions for you. How can people create safer environments when drugs and sex are involved, ensuring everyone feels respected and protected?
Yeah, I mean, good question. I think, again, it's just ideally, if you can, planning beforehand. I know that's so, like, maybe blue skies to say, because I know sometimes you just end up going to a party and it's like, oh, there's drugs here and there's sex here and woo. But if you can plan beforehand and create that safe space and have conversations about those boundaries and have sober people that you can contact if maybe, you know, you need to get home, I think that stuff really, really helps. Like I say, I know it's not always going to be planned, but if you can plan it, have those conversations, create that nice, safe environment, it makes everything so much easier.
Now, what resources or support networks are available for people seeking advice or assistance around sex and drugs?
Yeah, we've got some really good resources on thelevel.org.nz. We have a couple really specific articles that talk through kind of the different drugs and how they might impact your sexual experience. Obviously, sexual health service websites are also really great if you do need to access any support after a sexual experience. And then for more kind of niche things like chemsex for men who have sex with men, there's some great resources that we work with Burnett Foundation on. We have a program called Rewired, which is about helping men who engage in chemsex who want to change their relationship. So there's lots of good resources out there. Thelevel.org.nz is a great place to start because we can direct you to all of those other places that have that good info.
Awesome. Was there anything else, Emily, from the Drug Foundation, or have we...
No, I think we've covered it. We've talked about sex, drugs, not rock and roll, but right. Next time.
All right. Hey, thanks, Emily, and thank you to the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
Cheers.
That was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation, brought to you by thelevel.org.nz. Straight up drug info. 95.